In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at Grace Dispersed, Grace Online. Welcome to those who are regularly here. Welcome especially to those of you who might have found us today or recently. It's good that we get to be together, dispersed and all over the place though we may be through the magic of electronics and the internet. Couple of things before we get started with the liturgy. First, we will be celebrating Holy Communion today. So if you want to participate in that sacrament, I encourage you now to find some bread and some wine or grape juice to have on your home altar there so that when we get to that point in the service, you'll be ready. In our prayers, I invite your prayers for all those, especially those that are nearby to here, who are affected by the fires. There's a few that are just close to where we are here in Boulder that are pretty significant. So I encourage you to keep those folks, the firefighters and those whose homes are impacted by the fires, in your prayers. And also, I encourage you with me to give thanks to God for the snow that we get today, which hopefully will help with the fire efforts to contain those. Also in our prayers, I invite your prayers for the family and friends of Vasile Codrescu. Vasile was Michael Codrescu's father, and he was welcomed into eternal rest by our loving God yesterday. So thanks be to God for fullness of life. And I encourage you to keep Vasile's family and friends in your prayers as they grieve. Speaking of which, All Saints Sunday is next Sunday. And so we will absolutely remember Vasile along with all the rest of the saints who have come to the end of their baptismal journey over the past year, next week, by reading their names in the prayers and ringing a bell and remembering them as part of our community, whether directly or extended. And I shouldn't have to do this, but I do because I'm changing computers and messing with the way I receive email. So I'm a little concerned about my own keeping up with everything, and I worry that perhaps I might have lost one or two emails where people shared with me the names of folks beloved to them who passed away this past year. So I don't want to forget anyone next year or next week. So if you've submitted some names, a name or some names, could I ask you to do that again and apologize for having to do that? Thank you. Next Sunday is also the end of daylight savings time, so we fall back next week, which means we get an extra hour of sleep through the night before Sunday morning gets here, so you get to sleep in a little bit later before you get up and put on your Sunday going to church pajamas for worship. Our partner in ministry here at Grace for this month, and this is the last week of this month, is the Lutheran Family Services of the Rocky Mountains. There's a whole write-up toward the end of the bulletin about LFS of the Rocky Mountains. I encourage you to read that. This coming Wednesday, there is no evening prayer here at the church building, but watch the Grace's YouTube channel. I will be uploading a reflection on next week's psalm sometime by the end of Wednesday. We turn now to worship. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for Christ's sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Pray. Gracious God, we pray for your holy Catholic Church. Fill it with all truth and peace. Where it is corrupt, purify it. Where it is in error, direct it. Where in anything it is amiss, reform it. Where it is right, strengthen it. Where it is in need, provide for it. Where it is divided, reunite it. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors, when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, "Know the Lord," for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
We read Psalm 46 together, responsively by verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
The second reading is from Romans. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Judeans who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. People of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So, people of God, this is a big day in the life of the church. It's Reformation Sunday. It's a Sunday that we should be celebrating all together, and we are, even though we're not in the same physical space, which is a bummer. But it's the last Sunday of October, Reformation Sunday. Before that, it's always the Sunday that's immediately before or on the day of Reformation Day, which is that holiday that we celebrate every year by getting dressed up as our favorite Reformation characters on October 31st. That's the holiday we celebrate this coming week. And the Sunday before that, today, is Reformation Sunday, when we celebrate the movement of God's Holy Spirit through the church, working change and reform for the health of the church and for the good of all of God's creation. Of course, for better or for worse, and I tend to believe it's often for worse, a lot of times in a lot of different congregations, and I don't know what it's been like in this congregation, so I'm not speaking about that at all. This is my first Reformation Sunday here. But often in the Lutheran Church, we take some time on Reformation Sunday to celebrate being Lutheran. I mean, it's not as if we're not pointing that direction a little bit here. I noticed in the narthex when I came in today that there's a bust of Martin Luther sitting on one of the shelves out there, right next to a candle with the Reformation or with Luther's crest on it as a celebration of Reformation Sunday. But that's not what we do in worship. I mean, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being Lutheran. I've been Lutheran since I was, as we say, where I come from, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, I've been Lutheran. And it's great to be Lutheran. But there's nothing special about being Lutheran, at least not in God's eyes. And so instead of celebrating being Lutheran by, you know, lighting the Reformation candle and honoring the bust of Martin Luther and singing the Reformation Day fight song, A Mighty Fortress, instead of just focusing on our identity as Lutheran Christians, perhaps what we are called to as followers of Jesus is this work that God's Holy Spirit is doing in our church and in the world. And this work wasn't started in the 1500s by Martin Luther, though we Lutherans like to think that it was. And it wasn't started even accidentally by the Pope who Luther was protesting and writing against. And it wasn't started by Augustine, who wrote hundreds of years before Luther, but who was a big influence on Brother Martin himself. And this work that we are called to wasn't even started by St. Paul, who wrote so many letters to different congregations that he was connected to around the part of the world where he lived and who was probably a Lutheran himself. It wasn't even started by St. Paul, this work that we are called to. See, the reform that each of these theologians tried to point us to, and the reform that so many others have tried to point us to over the course of the history of the Christian church, the reform that we are called to comes from the same theological center that Jesus calls our attention to today in this gospel reading from John chapter 8. This reform that Jesus calls us to when he talks about the freedom that comes from grace and God's love, though that isn't necessarily exactly what it says. Read the whole scripture and you'll see how it's all connected. Or ask me about it sometime and I'll let you know how it's all connected, because I think that it is. But this freedom that Jesus talks about in today's gospel is what each of these Spirit-led reformers points us to when they point us to God's grace and the freedom that we find there. See, let's back up just a second. When we talk about freedom and when we talk about grace, we're talking about things that are sort of antithetical to the way that the whole rest of the world works. And so it puts us a little bit sideways to even conceptualize the idea that God's grace enters into our life completely free of charge. See, because in life, what often happens is this. We tend to think, as human beings that wander around this world, we tend to think and believe that we need to earn every good thing that we receive. I mean, think about school, right? You've got to pass the tests and do the homework and do the lessons in class and you got to do all that stuff in order to get good grades, because if you get good grades all the way through school until you're all the way out of school, however far your school goes, if you get good grades, you can earn your way into a good job, right? You earn the good grades and then you earn the good job. And think about your job. I mean, if you do good work and you show up on time and you don't mess up too bad most of the time, and you do good work and make the connections you need to make or make the widgets that you're supposed to make or do whatever it is that your job calls you to do, and you do it well, you earn that raise and you earn that promotion and you earn that status and you earn that reward that comes in the form often of a fatter paycheck. Because when you earn that raise, you get that nicer house and that newer car and those fancier toys, whatever kind of toys you like to play with. Thing is, our world tells us that the better things in life are things that have to be earned. And this is the message that we move through life with almost no matter what. What our faith reminds us of, though, is that our God gives us good things for free. That grace is nothing that we have to earn. That God's love is nothing that we have to work for, or that we would even be able to earn and work for. But God's love and God's forgiveness and God's grace and God's mercy are given to us freely. And this, it seems to me, is one of the places we get tripped up. Because we can't seem to shake our need to feel like we have to earn the good things that we receive. But this is the reform we're invited to be part of. This, in fact, I believe is the reform that the church is invited to be part of from the very beginning of the church until the day that there is no more church, because we're all welcomed into the kingdom of God and there is a new heaven and a new earth that appears. But before then, this is the reform that we're invited to be part of. The retelling of the story of who it is that we are as beloved children of God. The retelling of that story in a way that reminds us that our value is as beloved of God, not because of what we do. A retelling of the story that no matter who it is that we are beloved by God exactly as we are, without needing to work our way into God's good graces. That we are beloved children of God, not because of what we've done, but because of who God is. And because God offers to us freely and without charge love and mercy and forgiveness and grace. And you know, to tell you the truth, these days, you know, 2020, where we are now, as this is, as we're all participating together, or this is being recorded for y'all who are gonna watch later on, these days we're also invited into a reforming of the accidents of how this story gets told. Now, what I'm doing here is I'm thinking about distinguishing between the substance or the essence of what the reform that we're called to is, which is the retelling of the story of God's grace in a way that reminds us that we are valuable and valued to God no matter what. And so between the substance and the accidents of how the story gets told. I mean, consider Brother Martin Luther. One of the accidents of the way his telling of the story was shared was the printing press. You remember this. It was invented a number of decades before Luther was around. And there's no way that his telling of this God story could have happened without that. But these days, the accidents are not so much the printing press. We got lots of those. But there are accidents like the online broadcasting of worship, the way we're connecting with each other right now. The accidents like how we build and maintain relationships with each other, even though during this time of pandemic, we're physically distancing from each other and keeping ourselves into groups of folks that we relate with on a regular basis in order to not spread this virus as more robustly than we have done already. Accidents like preaching from here because up there or here or wearing an alb or wearing a stole or not, we don't know how this works because we haven't done it before this way. We can trust that this is part of the reform. I believe this is part of the reform that God's working as a way to allow us to tell this story more broadly than we've ever been able to tell it before. Because this story is still an important one to tell. Since we humans tend to need to continually be reminded of our value and of the truth that we can't and we don't and we won't ever be able to earn God's grace. But the God's grace is given to us freely and without cost. For it's God's grace, it's in God's grace that we experience true and complete freedom. Freedom from worrying about having to please some scorekeeping God who is not the God who we believe in. And freedom to be able to embrace fully with our whole selves the good news of Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Amen. With the whole church in heaven and on earth, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. People of God, before we get to the prayers, I want to share with you a prayer concern that should have been at the beginning, but it wasn't, so we're going to share it now. I want to let you know that Mieko Akima is nearing the end of her baptismal journey, perhaps as soon as sometime this week. So I invite you to keep Mieko and also Hiroko in your prayers in these days. We turn to the prayers.
Let us pray. With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Renew and inspire the church in the freedom of the gospel, O God. Where the church is in error, reform it. Where the church speaks your truth, strengthen it. Where the church is divided, unify it. Ignite in us the working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
As the earth changes, as mountains shake and waters roar, may we care for this planet as a holy habitation for all living things. Sustain all peoples and lands recovering from natural disasters of any kind, especially the fires that are impacting people all over Colorado. Lord, in your mercy. Hear our prayer. Guide areas of the world divided or traumatized by conflict, especially in our own land. Free your children from slavery and human trafficking, and protect all who are in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Release those living in bondage to debts, chronic pain, or addiction. Grant healing to those who are ill and in any need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In this family of faith, we give thanks for courageous voices that have remained firm in their commitment to the one who frees us from sin and death. Centered in your grace, unify us in the hope of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Even in death, you free us and give us a place in your house. We give thanks for our ancestors who have shown us truth and freedom, especially Martin Luther, and those who work for the renewal of the church. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Before we get to the piece, I just want to let you know one thing. And I should have said this in the announcements. Woof, I'm having a rough day this week. But today is Reformation Sunday, and we're not here in the sanctuary. And if we were all together in the sanctuary, I would have put post-it notes, those little sticky notes, in the bulletin for you to take and write a question that you have for the church or about anything on the post-it note and put them on the doors of the sanctuary, a la the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg Chapel door. But what I'd like you to do now, and I've been inviting you to think of questions that you want to ask, I would love for that to happen in the chat right now. So whatever questions you have, as you're sharing the piece with one another, you can also take a minute and put that question for the church in the chat. We're not going to do anything with them today, but we will do something with them in the future, whatever they are. And if you're uncomfortable putting it in the chat, I invite you to write it up in an email and send it to me or Amy, and we'll move to those eventually then. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
invite you to share a sign of peace with one another and, you know, the chat questions thing.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. You have set before us these gifts of your good creation. Prepare us for your heavenly banquet. Nourish us with this rich food and drink, and send us forth to set tables in the midst of a suffering world through the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O God. Through your beloved servant Jesus, you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ was born of Mary and shared our human nature. With loving arms outstretched upon the cross for us, Jesus broke the chains of evil, death, and destruction. By the resurrection, your will was fulfilled, and you gathered a holy people together to offer you praise. So with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Almighty God, for in the night when he was betrayed, Jesus gathered with his friends for a meal that remembers and anticipates freedom. On that night, Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. As we share this bread and cup, O God, and as we remember Christ's death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit into our dispersed midst, that we who share these gifts may be fed and forgiven and reformed and strengthened to serve you. Amen. As Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those
who trespass against us.
Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power,
and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. People of God, this table is God's table and Christ is the host here. So everyone, without exception, is welcome at this table. And this table is extended to those tables in your homes as well. Those of you who are by yourselves, hold on just a second. Those of you who are with other people, I invite you to ignore me for a little while and take the bread and serve each other and take the cup and serve each other. And as you share the bread, say, "The body of Christ given for you." And as you share the cup, say, "The blood of Christ shed for you." Now, those of you who are by yourselves, I invite you at this time to take the bread and hear these words spoken to you. "The body of Christ given for you." And now I invite you to take the cup and hear these words spoken to you. "The blood of Christ shed for you." For those who might not have bread or might not have wine or grape juice, please remember that God's mercy and forgiveness are fully contained in each of the elements. Further, those of you who might not receive communion for whatever reason today, remember that God's mercy and forgiveness and love and grace are fully present to us in ways additional, myriad ways additional to Holy Communion. So trust that you are forgiven and loved by God.
The body of Christ given for you. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God.
The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ given for you.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace. Amen.
We give you thanks, gracious God, that you once again have fed us with food beyond compare, the body and blood of Christ. Lead us from this place, nourished and forgiven, into your beloved vineyard to wipe away the tears of all who hunger and thirst. Guided by the example of the same Jesus Christ and led by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. May God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless us and lead us into the way of truth and life. Amen.
It satisfies my longing.
peace, remember the poor. Thanks be to God.